Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay News Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week with Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt.
Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover the topics that are in the news over the week that affect you, us and our community.
And in this week's show, we're going to be talking quite a bit about Transgender Day of Remembrance over the first half. We're going to then talk about Bob Hawke and his comments about marriage equality, some electoral coverage, some falling and failing issues around HIV responses in this country. And we're going to do our round the world wrap-up of about another six or seven stories just to keep you up to date.
If you want to get in touch with us at any time, this is how you do so.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
But first, yesterday, countries from around the world recognised the Transgender Day of Remembrance. The day was established in 1998 by Gwendolyn Ann Smith, a transgender graphic designer, columnist and activist, in honour of Rita Hester's murder in Massachusetts. Since its inception, the day has grown, and in 2010, the day was observed by more than 185 cities across the globe. Although, despite the good work, worldwide human rights group Amnesty International says countries should take further steps to prevent our transgender brothers and sisters from violence, stating that research shows between 2008 and 2010, the number of trans hate-related deaths has risen each year. Joining us to discuss the day further is Sally Conning from Seahorse Victoria. Sally, welcome to Gay News Week.
Hi, and thank you for having me here.
Sally, now, just so we're all being educated on the right language that we use when we talk about the transgender community, can you give us a base outline?
Well, the transgender community, we use an umbrella term as transgender. There's four subcategories we use. The old-fashioned word transvestite, still there. Crossdresser, the girl who comes out once in a while just to please a feminine side. Transgender, myself, who's decided that the feminine side of myself is the best side. And transsexual, who's at a very early age decides they're in the wrong body.
So these terms, do you find some of them offensive or some of them not offensive? Or are they, or is it, does it all depend on how the individual identifies and the definition that they choose themselves?
Depends on the person who's using the word at us. When we're in a group, we quite often use the word tranny to describe ourselves. But if someone throws the word tranny at us, it's usually as an offensive word. So it's not a liked one.
Yeah, I can relate it back to myself with terms like poofter and other various terms that can be used to describe gay people. It's the same kind of thing. Sometimes it's all right in a group, but when other people start using it as derogatory terms, that's when it can become offensive.
Yeah, that's true. We listen to see drag shows and the girls quite often use the word tranny. That makes me shudder a little, but that's what they want to say, so I just turn my back to it. So, but in the street, you rotten tranny and worse and beyond, hate, loathe it. But
coming back to the Day of Remembrance, one of the things that I've just read is that so far in 2012, 265 transgender people have been murdered worldwide, and the brutality of their deaths is detailed and is really quite disgraceful and disgusting, including repeated stabbings and shootings and the like. I first of all wonder how they come up with that statistic for a worldwide, but ignoring that for a moment, how do you find the level of discrimination and the level of prejudice in our community, both the broader community and the gay community?
I was discussing that very issue with Sally Gellner from Transgender Vic yesterday, and we came up with the conclusion most of it happens in America, usually in the most proactive states where gay rights are more freely available to people. That's where the hate happens. Melbourne and its environments, we're finding mainly it's a very passive society towards us. I parked my car two blocks away and walked here. No one gave me a second look. Stood in Drummond Street yesterday for an hour talking with Sally. No looks. So Melbourne's a fairly safe place to be.
So, of course, yesterday you you were talking about Transgender Day of Remembrance, which was November 20th, as in yesterday. And what was it that you were actually involved in a vigil down in Drummond Street with a few other members of different support organisations? What other organisations were there as well?
Drummond Street Services provided the space for us. Why Gender Victoria, they're a support group for 18 to 25, 26-year-old transgender people. They were running the show, and Sally Goldner, representing Transgender Vic, and myself representing Seahorse, were just there. We sat around chatting, talking, just having a good time, but we had photos of the people who have died up on the wall just to remind us why we were there.
You are from Seahorse Victoria yourself. Can you just give a bit of a definition of what Seahorse Victoria do, and also the significance of the name? What does Seahorse mean?
Seahorse is a funny little sea creature that can change gender, basically. So that's where the name came from. Our main aim is just to support girls if they wish to come out, support people through whatever they want us to support them through. I'm a product of that myself. 3.5 years ago when I came out, very scared girl. Now I'm sitting in a radio studio, so it works.
You say a very scared girl. I wonder what organisations are out there for trans men. Do you have any insight or any connection with what I suppose you might call the other part of the trans community?
It's definitely male to female, and it's definitely female to male. Mm. Why Gender are supporting a lot of young female to male. We don't see many, but we know of female to male our age groups. I'm not a real young person anymore.
Young at heart, I'm sure.
Young at heart. Yeah, I'm only 3.5, technically. So there are groups. There is one Sydney-based one. If you do Google it, it will come up. It's an email-only support group. There is a Melbourne section of it.
Mm. We also have one of the other groups that we spoke about earlier was the Zoe Bell Gender Centre as well. So we have four main support groups in Victoria. What do you see as the real importance of these groups being made available for the trans community? Because it can be very isolating to go through it, the journey that you're going through. And I suppose it does take a lot of courage for someone to basically come out as you have done and then be part of an organisation and ask for that support.
Zoe Bell's really good, the fact that you don't have to be a member of it. You can go to their website, Zoe Bell Gender Centre. You can ask questions. You will get answers from people within the community who know answers. They are a great resources online. At the moment, they are purely internet-based, no physical being as such, whereas the other three are definitely a physical base. There is people there.
You are listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Sally Conning. She is from Seahorse Victoria. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
We are speaking with Sally Conning from Seahorse Victoria right here on Gay News Week.
Sally, just touching base, you said before that you weren't quite as young now. Tell us about your journey and how you've come to where you are today, particularly with reference to where you're at with your transgender journey.
Easiest way to say it, I was aged 4 when I first came, knew I had something different with me. I asked my mother if I could swim in my sister's bathers. The answer was yes, so I blame Mum. No, not really. It's nothing to do with Mum that I know of. Through there, into the mid-60s, I got dragged into a psychiatrist at the Royal Children's Hospital with the quote to my parents, "I will cure him." Thinking of the day, bad, doesn't work, didn't work, never will. got heavily involved in surf, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Ended up on heroin for a while. Mess is the easiest way to explain that. Straightened myself out, got married, got two great kids, 31 and 28 now. If you can do your arithmetic, you'll work out how old I am. Two marriages, both broke down because of, supposedly because of my dressing. Sat at home alone for 4 years, drinking too much, got very depressed, actually looked at a rope one night. Bad news thing, that happens. That's when I rang Seahorse. I knew of them. My sister used to work for the printing company that printed their magazines. So, came out 3.5 years ago now. Slowly progressed from twice a month to twice a week to full time. Now I'm seeing a gender psychiatrist. I've been on hormones for a year and loving every moment of my life.
The depths that you got to, which were clearly very low indeed, you do attribute that to where you're at in your transitioning or not yet acceptance of who you are?
That was before I really decided where I was. I was just sitting at home alone, dressed, nowhere to go, no friends, no contact with the outside world, just running around in the house, a princess basically, running around in a castle. And depression got bad, thought of rope. So that's where it was.
I think that that's one thing that is not spoken about as much, but incredibly an incredibly important fact about members of the trans community, that, you know, the figures are high, as 1 in 3 members of the community are at that point at some stage in their journey where they do feel that they have no other options in life, and the importance of being able to have these support networks, as you found with Seahorse Victoria, to know that, you know, you aren't alone. You do have the support, and you know, there is ways that we can move forward and help you with you know, being, as you said, the happiest you've ever been now.
Yeah, I definitely am happy. Definitely need support groups. We definitely need to be out in the open about it.
And Shelley's just grabbed her out in the open t-shirt.
Out in the open was where we were, Joy was, and also yourself up over the weekend. Out in the open is the first time this festival has been organised in the greater Shepparton area by Goulburn Valley Pride and many other organisations in the area. Also during that was some great forums which went into the importance of support with all members of our community, including the trans community. Let us know a little bit about the importance of some of those forums that you attended, and there's some great funny stories about how we need to include different letters in our alphabet.
I suppose the most important workshop within the forum to me was Greer, the president of Seahorse, Sally C, Sally G, there's two of us, yep. Confuses people. We did a workshop on trans issues, and that was well received. I told them my story, which you've just heard in a lot more detail. Got similar responses. Wow, needs to be out there. And one of the really good things, I think, that came out of the whole day, and there were lots of keynote speakers there with, had a lot more experience at issues than me. The old expression GLBTIQA, which is almost the alphabet community now, the suggestion came up that it should now be LGBIT, because it's always called the gay community. The lesbians felt left out, so we put L in front of them. The bisexual, intersex and trans community have become the bit, so don't forget the other bits.
Yeah, I really like that, because it highlights that sometimes the BIT does get left out within our community.
It seems to a lot. Quite often on Facebook, everyone's favourite social network, put up things, hey, don't forget the trans community. I'm a bit of a stirrer these days, which is bad news at times for a lot of people.
But speaking of Facebook, because, you know, you put a fantastic post on Facebook yesterday, part of Transgender Remembrance Day, Day of Remembrance, sorry. Would you like to share that with us?
Yeah. I had been to my gender psychiatrist for my regular how you going appointment. And I wrote this when I was sitting in a park afterwards. And the quote is, spending some time in Queen's Park, Moonee Ponds, after seeing Yako, that's my psychiatrist, it has changed so much from the park I knew through my childhood. I will be going to the TDOR event in Drummond Street soon. How we have changed. Nobody here appears to notice me or care about a trans person enjoying the sun and the breeze. Some do, or we wouldn't need this day of remembrance. Rest in peace to those who were found by hate. Still get a tear over that.
Yeah, it's really quite moving because it shows that as a community we do actually, we have actually come a long way, but we also do have such a long way to go.
That is moving, and I'm going to take you to one more maybe moving place along the way.
Yep.
Your kids, how are they with all of this? This is going to be such a big change for them.
Because I can imagine it's something that, you know, a lot of members of the trans community do actually go through when as they're transitioning later in life as yourself.
Great kids. Respect their father a lot. Know of Sally. Have never met Sally. Don't want to talk about Sally. Simply put, a couple of weeks ago I sat in the backyard of my mother's house with my daughter as dad and we had a great talk. Sally wasn't mentioned, it's never mentioned. Other than she acknowledges we have some issues to sort out one day. Mm. So, son, he doesn't care. My sister told his partner and all she said was, I'd like to meet him, and my son found out that they'd met and talked about me and said, phew, I don't have to tell you.
So, that is a story that all too many people experience, transgender people experience in their day-to-day lives. We have come some way within breaking down those barriers of discrimination in our community, but we've still got a long way to go. In your opinion, how far have we come and how far have we got to go?
We've come a monstrous way since the early 60s when I first hit psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand us. There was no research, no study, no internet. People couldn't communicate the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's still people who hate us. There always will be. There's still people who hate any of the alphabet community. Trans is starting to be accepted more. Hopefully it'll continue to be accepted more. And I just go out there and say, hey, I am who I am. Like it or don't like me, and I don't care.
So you think we've made some good progress over that time. Where do you see us in 10 years?
That's a very good question. I don't know where I'll be in 10 years, let alone where the whole community will be. Hopefully, we will be accepting to the point where anyone can walk down the street comfortably expressing how they think they are.
Do you think a lot of this, you know, I find a lot of the times with hate and anger towards different members of the community, it's through lack of education and understanding. And as the trans community is tend to be a very isolated community, the best thing that we can actually offer for the for not only the rainbow community but for the broader community is that education of, you know, this is what members of the trans community are going through, and as hard as it is to get more members of the trans community to be able to do like what you're doing and say, you know, this is what we're going through. And with that knowledge and education, it will break down those barriers.
It will, but there's not many girls who are game to go out and do what I'm doing, unfortunately.
No, that's true.
No. I spread my time between Shepparton, going up through to Woodend, Castlemaine now, and hopefully just by doing this sort of thing, we help.
Sally, one of the things that may not be known is that though gay and lesbian was taken out of the Diagnostic Statistic Manual for Medicine, I don't know, some 20, 25 years ago, my timing there might be slightly wrong, the intersex and trans and similar conditions were left in. What's your take on that and on the movement to change that?
DSM-4 still classes me as a mental illness. DSM-5, which is due to come out next year, I think, from listening to Fintan Hart from Monash Gender Centre, will have us removed from being mentally ill. It's a crazy system. How you can have something like us as mentally ill, or as gays and lesbians were. We're not mentally ill. And I've signed petitions all over the internet for World Health Organisations. We aren't mentally ill, we're people. We haven't got a mental illness, so hopefully it goes through the system and DSM-5 comes out.
next year, hopefully, with some good changes.
Good changes.
Sally, I thank you so much for sharing your story this evening. It has been really interesting to talk to you. Before we say goodbye, could you please tell us if there's somebody out there listening that thinks they may be in a situation where they could be transgendered and they want to get involved with Seahorse Victoria, what's the best way of getting involved?
Simplest way, Google Seahorse or Google transgender support. Seahorse usually comes up first. If you can't be bothered Googling, seahorsevic.com.au.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Sally Conning from Seahorse Victoria, thank you very much for joining us on Gay Newsweek.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
Former Australian Labor Prime Minister Bob Hawke has publicly come out in support of equal marriage. Mr. Hawke was speaking in a joint interview with former Liberal Prime Minister John Howard when Hawke became the first Australian Prime Minister to support equal marriage. Hawke says his comments were motivated by his deep feelings on all issues of discrimination.
The importance of this is this actually happened at a fundraiser for Lifeline, which of course was a sold out event and for an absolutely fantastic cause. John Howard and Bob Hawke were interviewed on stage by Ray Martin, and they were discussing all things politics. And of course, one of the things that was brought up was about equality in marriage. And let's listen to what they had to say about it.
Where do you stand on that, John? We just had Obama change his mind. Have you changed your mind?
I haven't changed my mind at all.
Are you surprised, Bob?
No. He's not a bad bloke, but he's a real bloody conservative.
I am very much in favour of law being changed to enable marriage between gay people. It just needs to be said straightforwardly. You can be born with curly hair. You can be born with this gene disposition towards homosexuality. It's not something you basically choose. It's the way you are.
Joy 94.9.
It's entirely unsurprising that John Howard hasn't changed his point of view on the issue, but to hear Hawke saying that, I think is a milestone. Of course, he didn't say it while he was Prime Minister, but we need to remember that he was Prime Minister quite a long time ago and that there were a lot of other changes that actually happened with regards to gay rights at that time, particularly around the military and some other things.
What I think is crazy is that we have Australia's first female Prime Minister. That was, if you'd be faced with the options, that is the Prime Minister that you would expect to come out for equal marriage and for breaking down discrimination barriers like this. We've spoken about it before. The Labor government has done enormous things to break down discrimination for same-sex and gender-diverse people. But the fact that it's Bob Hawke, I think it's absolutely crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Jeffrey was talking about it being quite a long time ago. I mean, it was between 1983 and 1991 he was Prime Minister. So back in a time when in some states homosexuality was still illegal, you know, we don't know what his personal beliefs at the time was because he was actually governing our country in a time when homosexuality was still illegal. The other thing is, of course, which we, you know, I've said in the past, you know, I'm a very firm believer that Julia is letting her personal opinions dictate her politically, because I've strongly believed that she actually doesn't believe in marriage at all. And she's actually said, you know, why should, you know, I'm not married. It doesn't mean I'm not committed to my partner. So, but she's belittling our community by saying, well, she actually has the choice to be married, and she still fails to miss the point that it is not about us going, oh yeah, I just want to get married to my girlfriend. We're saying to the youth in our community that you're not equal under Australian law, because you can't do what your straight brothers and sisters can do.
And I continue to not understand how our female Prime Minister, who's living in sin with her partner, who's an atheist, feminist activist, cannot be in favour of equal marriage. If someone can explain how all of those characteristics come together with someone opposed to equal marriage, could you please send us a message on 1300 Joy 949 or SMS us on 0427 Joy 949?
I think that, Jeffrey, the incredibly amusing thing in that whole statement is she's an atheist, but she's living in sin.
Yes, big old sinners.
I know. The thing is we have to look at is we're actually looking at a time now where I would really love to have been a fly on the wall in the lodge last night, you know, after Julie has actually heard the statement that Bob Hawke, is a member of the Labor Party, has actually come out as a former Prime Minister and said, hey, hey, you know, they were born this way. Let them get married. Let them eat cake, you know, whatever. Do you know what I mean? And she's sitting there going, oh, my God, did he really just say that?
As Tim runs her bath and blow waves her hair, which he admitted to doing in the media this week.
Absolutely. Oh, did he really? I didn't hear about
did
that
Did you
one.
Not read that?
No, I didn't see
No, no,
that.
No. It was a hard-hitting expose. Oh, yes.
The very sure. interesting thing as we go into a more political minefield is that also part of this talk and the interview that they did, they actually discussed the difference in the political parties and the difference in the leaders. And let's have a bit of a listen.
I think Tony Abbott, and I speak of somebody who sat around a cabinet table with him for 8 years. I think he'll make an excellent Prime Minister. I still think he'll win.
Is Tony Abbott the best thing going for the Labor Party right now?
I hope they don't swap him. Sorry, Malcolm.
Joy 94.9.
The hilarious thing is, of course, on Monday, this Monday night, Kevin Rudd and Malcolm Turnbull were on the panel of Q&A. Mm. And it was actually one of the most interesting Q&As of the year. Of course, you know, we love to see when Tanya Plibersek and Penny Wong will be on. But the great thing is for those two opposing party ex-leaders to actually sit there and have discussions about and quite controlled and very that you can actually tell how much that they two actually like each other as people. And a lot of people, because of course, you know, people tweet flat out during Q&A, and I sit there and watch Q&A every week with my Twitter account open and watching the Q&A feed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were tweeting while this was on, saying about how interesting it is and the difference that we would see in Australian politics with having them as the leaders of our political parties, and there wouldn't be this misogynistic mudslinging that we actually see with our current leaders.
It might not be misogynistic, but remember, despite Kevin Rudd's protestations around equal marriage prior to the equal marriage vote in the House of Representatives, he actually voted against it. So in terms of equal marriage, which was the start of our conversation, he's opposed and voted in opposition, whereas Turnbull actually says that he's in favour but isn't allowed to vote there. So it really is an upside-down world that all of that's occurring at opposite ends of their own parties.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like living in a political alternative universe. But the reality is Kevin did actually come out to members of our community, spoke to a father about his gay son and said, I will, if this comes to a vote, I will stand up at a conscience vote and vote for marriage equality. And that was only 6 months before the vote. It was in July of last year. The vote was down in December. And he's done some pretty serious backpedaling. But makes you wonder what actually happened along the party floor and whether he was still going to be interested in another political overthrow of the leadership, because he was voting the same way Julia was. Now, the other interesting thing that actually came out of the discussion on Q&A was a member of the audience, of course, you know, they have all their questions. Of course, that's why it's called Q&A.
Yeah, questions and answers, you know.
Yes.
It's a complicated
very, very complicated, yeah. They actually did, one of the questions they actually said, you know, the two of you appear to get along so well. You're both very amicable men. Mm.
They should get married.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Nice. Oh, no, but they can't.
No, because it's illegal. Oh, but another thing, that point that actually came out is a question was actually thrown to them. Man, you're unbelievable. The question was, I was getting quite serious.
Yeah, go on, keep going. I'm sorry.
A question actually came to them about the fact of, would they consider starting their own political party? Now, Kevin's actually quite a funny man, who would have thought, turned around and his first answer was, what a great idea, but I don't know if we could agree on who would be the leader.
Of course, yes.
And of course, Turnbull showed that he is a liberal man through and through, which is why he didn't cross the floor and lose his front bench seat, is he said, well, you know, I would never, ever, ever leave the Liberal Party.
Mm. And it's one of those things in politics, I suppose, where you don't necessarily have to support all of your party's platform to be a member of the party, and that applies to both sides. You're listening to Gay Newsweek with Matt, Sammy and Jeffrey.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
Around the world with Gay Newsweek right here on Joy 94.9. 94.9. Our Around the World starts this week with the great new documentary that's actually on the BBC about a trans teenager. This journey, the documentary actually follows her journey as she goes through the heats of a beauty pageant.
Very relevant to what we've been speaking about earlier this evening.
Absolutely.
It certainly is. And she actually talks about having attempted suicide 5 times when she was younger and describes herself as having a girl's brain but a boy's bottom half. And if I tried to dress like my brother when he was 3 or 4, he would have been mortified. So
it's very good to see that on a mainstream documentary channel that they will actually be giving support to trans youth in our community.
Most definitely.
An Italian gay man has been given paid leave for same-sex marriage. And this is quite interesting because in a country where it's still not legal.
Yes, that's a bit odd, isn't it?
It is, but it's great to see that they've actually come that way, because if they allow those sorts of rights for their straight employees and what have you, why not?
The news is actually making headlines in the country at the moment, so it's absolutely fantastic to see that there is support in the community. There has been a very interesting case in New Hampshire where an anti-gay lawyer was arrested for teen camera sex. Now, this lawyer is an advocate and lawyer for a Christian organisation, which pretty much, like most of them, think that we should be burned at the stake.
No, not most of them. A lot of extremist ones. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
have to pull you up there.
No. Very, very true. She was arrested by the FBI last Friday for being found with photos of her engaging in sexual acts with a young girl.
Some people are so stupid.
And we have to say that this is really quite an offensive crime because it does involve a minor. But the fact that she's so inconsistent with her outwardly stated view and the way she behaved is not uncommon. How many times do we hear this story about people who have come out railing against our community and railing against the things we do and then get caught with their pants down?
Exactly. And the amount of stories that I have seen about Republicans that are obviously very anti-gay coming out and people find their Grindr profiles or something or their dating website. It's just like, really?
Craigslist seems to come up a bit with American politicians.
Can I also throw into the mix, of course, which is relevant at the moment, what's happening in Australia about a royal commission, the amount of priests that actually come out against members of our community. And, what are they doing, really? Speaking of members of the religious community, a group of nuns in Ohio have actually come out with claims that birth control turns men gay and women into sluts.
This is really precious. I have to say, the viral video by the Come Unity in Truth group claims contraception is responsible for far more evils than just preventing an unwanted pregnancy. Its effect can be seen somewhere out of some experiment with fish, and the consequence is that turns men gay and women into sluts. So it's very dodgy science at best.
How unusual for an extremist religious group to make up something else. Now, something else that's actually really quite interesting. A Chicago cop has been fired for interesting work that he's done in a bar mat.
He certainly has. He was on paid leave for a particular reason, and he was caught moonlighting as a bouncer at a gay venue, but also for participating in a lube wrestling challenge, which I think this is just funny, really.
We put that in because Matt couldn't resist it, really.
Well, exactly. Aww. I saw the story. Why not? Very interesting. And obviously, he'll be reprimanded appropriately, I'm sure.
It'll be actually interesting to see if he actually remains to keep his employment.
In for a rough ride, if you ask me.
A very nice subject.
Not
for something
with that lube.
Keep going.
Boys, there's been a really lovely story with the Mental Health Minister, Mary Woodridge, announcing the Victorian Government funding from some great different areas at the moment for youth, specifically used for youth projects.
The programs that are included in this, and it's about 180 or some reports of 200,000, which includes homophobia in sport, suicide prevention, homeless queer youth for strategies for LGBTI people and a number of other things.
Yeah, I think this is a great story. Although $200,000 doesn't sound like that much money to be divided amongst eight different causes, it's still money. And we worked it out to be, well, Sammy did the maths for me because I'm not that great at maths, $25,000 each. That's a good chunk of money, especially when it comes to not-for-profit organisations. And organisations like our own here at Joy, it's $25,000 is quite a lot of money, and we can use it actually really resourcefully.
$25,000, you know, gets you someone for a day or two a week for a while to actually run a program, to design something, and to come up with a new way of thinking or doing something. So it is... They're decent amounts of money. Of course, we would always encourage the government to give more.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. And a shout out to our friends over at the Student Youth Network, who also got some money for their Queer Youth On Air project.
Absolutely. It's always wonderful to see that happen. Now, speaking of a few other local things that are actually happening around town, members of our community, Matthew Mitchum will be launching his book this week at Hares and Hyenas, his autobiography, Twists and Turns.
Yes, this is a story that made Joy News during the week. As a Joy News reader, of course, I would know about this. Where he comes out and he speaks about different troubles that he's had in his life, including an addiction to methamphetamines in 2011. Obviously, in 2008, he was a big star in the 2008 Olympic Games, and 2011, he wasn't so successful. So that sheds a bit of light on that.
The great thing is we can also, you can tune in to On The Line with Dean Beck next Thursday. Dean will have a chat with Matthew about his journey.
It will be very interesting.
There's been some protests in New York against Jamaica with their anti-gay hate issues that they've actually got. The protest was held on November 19, was predicated by a brutal attack against a gay student by security guards in Jamaica.
It certainly has. Two of the four guards that were caught on video during the attack have been dismissed and have been taken into police custody. The other guards who stood by have had no sanctions against them as yet. So waiting on the university to do a bit more in that regard.
That's our Around the World wrap-up here with Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt on Gay Newsweek.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
We've had some messages in as well on 0427JOY949 from the gorgeous Betty. She says, well done, Sally. Thanks for giving us an insight into your life. Great interview. Good Gay Newsweek team. She needs to learn how to spell that properly, I think. I'll take her to task. This has been a Gay News Week, but it's unfortunately all we have time for this evening. We want to send out a special thank you to Sally Conning from Seahorse Victoria, transgender advocate, for coming into the studio and spending some time with us and sharing personal stories.
And it was actually very touching for me personally to hear that kind of thing from Sally and hearing about her journey.
It was fantastic, and kudos to you, and more power to the work.
Now, if you want to find out any more information, you can go to seahorse.com.au. They can also put you in touch with the other organisations that are available. Don't forget, you can always call Lifeline as well and get in touch with people that can get some help.
13 11 14 is Lifeline's number.
Thank you, my love.
You're welcome.
A very big thank you to everyone who's joined in our conversation tonight, and especially thank you, as always, to our wonderfully talented technical producer, Matthew Nock, for pushing our buttons just right. Also, thank you to Pam Cordeau for helping us with tonight's show, and Katie.
He's going to get into us one day about sexual harassment. If at any time throughout the week you want to get in contact, make sure you email us, gaynewsweek@joy.org.au, or head to joy.org.au/gaynewsweek to find all the links to our social media profiles and also the podcast, which will be up by the end of this evening.
They certainly will be up. And until next week, we are Jeffrey, Matt and Sammy, and this has been Gay News Week.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse.
That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay News Week. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.